morning, CKLN listeners. It is the 28th day of February 2011. You are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening here on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.fm online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. Right here on CKLN's Rude Awakening on Mondays and Thursdays is your host BK, aka VJ. I do try and break down some of what's going on in the world today to make sure that we do know better. Because often no one ever tells us when we're alone, since we are encouraged to stick to certain topics that are endorsed by the media and talk about things in certain ways. And so we try and cut through that here in the 21st century information war. And we live in extremely exciting times. We live in times of exceptional opportunity. Here on today's show, I've got some clips from Lindsey Williams, Pastor Lindsey Williams, talking about undiscovered oil resources, or at least untapped oil resources that are confirmed discovered, which means we are not short of resources no matter what our media and propaganda machines tell us. I got clips from Webster Griffin Tarpley on the latest revolutions happening in the Middle East, how they are fomented by the Anglo-American establishment and their intelligence arms, and how basically they're going for broke. They are trying to destroy and destabilize nation-states worldwide and destroy the concept of the nation-state. So, you know, we've been inundated with an era of global thinking and thinking globally. We got to start thinking nationally. So many times Canadians go, oh, well, at least we're not as bad as America. Our economy's not as bad. Yeah, we got to wait 8 hours in our healthcare emergency rooms, but at least we're not doing as badly as America with their healthcare system, where people are, in some cases, denied coverage or put heavily into debt for treatments they get. And it's true. It's true. But instead of saying, you know, at least we're better than America, we got to start saying we're Canadian. Canadians don't put up with this crap. We want a universal healthcare system that's as good as possible, that's as ethical as possible, that takes advantage of the latest information and research in the areas of nutrition, as well as medicine, as well as pharmaceuticals. We want to make sure that we are given all our options and not encouraged to take medicine like vaccines without even being sick yet. We want to make sure that here in Canada, we understand that we've been robbed of our living standards over the last one or two or 3 years of between 10 and 20% with the increase in prices, and even articles on how the literal size of food packages is going down. So you're still buying the same tub of, the same yogurt, but it's in a smaller container for a higher price. And as companies subtly look to maintain their profits in an era of spiraling food and commodities prices worldwide. So we try and stress that here on this show, we being me, myself, and I, and at times some of the interviews and clips I play, and at times some of the guests I have on, including talented filmmaker Brian Law, who along with Dan Dix and Stephen Davies is working on Into the Fire, a new film about the G20 martial law situation that happened last summer here in Toronto. So the bottom line is that tons and tons of stuff. James Corbett from the Corbett Report, expat Canadian, talking about how we are in an incredible time of opportunity as we literally have the Library of Alexandria at our fingertips, or metaphorically, in the sense of having access to unprecedented amounts of knowledge. And yet, if all we do is hoard that knowledge, then people around us will get overwhelmed by propaganda. So on that note, I'm going to take you to a clip of Pastor Lindsey Williams on the Alex Jones Show from the 23rd of February, talking about the Bakken and other oil fields. And I know when I released my Obamacide album package, mixtape package, I included a screenshot and a PDF sort of printout off the web of the Bakken oil fields somewhere in Montana from the U.S. Geological Survey, where they basically said, yeah, we found all this oil there. So we are not short resources. Do keep that in mind, because super rich people are trying to convince us all to use less so they can steal everything. And as long as we understand that and we figure out what we truly do have, and we figure out that you know, just because they say it costs more, it doesn't mean we have less, then we can figure our way out of this. So Pastor Lindsey Williams on the Alex Jones Show.
He said, we're looking at a resource base worth $5.3 trillion. Folks, do you realize that would pay off all of the national debt at $200 a barrel? Let me continue. When I was first briefed on this, Terry Johnson said, he's a Montana legislative financial analyst, he said that, he gave this, by the way, it's in the congressional record. He said the congressman almost dropped their lower jaw. Here it is. This sizable find is now the highest producing onshore oil field in the past 56 years, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette said. It is a formation known as the Williston Basin. Do you hear the Bakken? You'll also hear the words Williston Basin. It is more commonly referred to as the Bakken. It stretches from northern Montana through North Dakota into Canada. For years, the U.S. oil exploration, they have known it's there. This is no surprise to the elite. They knew, the major oil companies knew it is there. Now they have the technology. May I tell you what it is? This was just in this report the other day that this gentleman gave me. He said, this is light sweet crude. Do you know what that means? There are two different kinds of oils.
Yes, well, there's crude oil, and then there's sweet, and then there's the light sweet. You can basically almost not even process or refine light sweet. It can almost go right in the engine.
That's correct. With just a little filtration, you could put it right into a diesel engine. The light sweet crude and the Bakken oil reserve is light sweet crude, and it can be produced. Are you ready? Hold on. It can be produced for $16 per barrel on our own soil. That is 60 cents a gallon at the gas pump if the elite would give it to you. Did you hear those figures? But you won't get it for that. You'll get it for $7 to $8 a gallon at the gas pump, because crude oil by that time will be $200 a barrel. Now, may I go on? There's enough crude to fully fuel the United States economy. Are you ready? Through the year 2041, straight from our own soil.
And that's what's already that's what's already discovered and on tap now.
Yes, that is right there. They know it's there.
There's even more.
They're ready to tap it. Now, here's the next field they're going to open. It's called the Stanberry. Stanberry. And you'll find it in the Stanberry Report, which was issued on April the 20th of 2006. Here's the report on it. Hidden 1,000 feet beneath the surface of the Rocky Mountains lies the largest untapped oil reserve in the world. It is more than 2 trillion barrels. Here's a report of how much you have there. This report is stunning, and they're going to open this field up when they get it to $200 a barrel. We have more oil inside our borders than all other proven reserves on Earth. Here they are, 8 times more oil than Saudi Arabia, 18 times more oil than Iraq, 21 times more oil than Kuwait, 22 times as much oil as Iran, 500 times as much oil as Yemen, and it's all right here on our own soil. James Bardis, one of the lead researchers in the study of how much oil we have, he went on to say, we have more than 2 trillion barrels untapped, more than all the proven oil reserves of crude oil in the world. And this was written in the Denver Post. Now, they know it's there. I'll give you the other two places they're going to open up. They will open up Gull Island in Alaska. My book, Energy Non-Crisis, is the only place on the face of the earth that statistics and details are given on this. The fourth area will be the Arctic Wildlife Refuge. And whenever they open that, now, you say, we can't do that because the ecologists won't let us. Oh, yes, you will. By the time the ecologists don't have any food on their table, along with you not having food on your table, the dollar has collapsed, and the whole economy is in shambles, and the Federal Reserve has basically become a disgrace, and the Arabs have been swindled and stripped out of all of the money that they spent on T-bills and Federal Reserve notes all of these years. At that point, the economy will be in such a condition, even an ecologist and a Greenpeacer will be begging for these oil fields to be produced. And this is what I was given the other day by one of the elite, and the entire story of what their plans are, you watch it unfold. more and more disruption in the Middle East, all across America. You're going to see problems. Folks, this is coming to America. It's not right. just abroad.
Uh-oh. You set this up now, right?
Yeah.
You know you're not going to be part of this whole global empire, don't you?
Uh-oh.
Sorry. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go. Yo, you already know what I'm about. Bring him out, bring him out. You can't hear me shout and still have depth. So what you all about? What are your dreams? And I'm so big, jeans break at the seams. A house so big, can't see what it means. Stuck alone in the hip, counting your bins. What the rich do, the snitch do. To me and to you, and if you're a snitch, bitch, then fuck you too. We ain't got time for playing, laying around and praying like an ass for that ass. Like the TV be saying, every bitch you mock, every nigga sold, you see it written down in a Pentagon folder. Instead of Fox News, sing the blues like Etta. Instead of endless wars and police states and driving a jet, I'ma be a go-getter, shine my Jeezy. Mine's flashlights, see the boot, so easy.
If we can't do it, homie, it can't be done. If we can't make it fun, then it can't be won.
Okay.
If we can't do it, homie, it can't be done.
And that's right, folks. We are back. Hopefully you enjoyed that little window into possibility, courtesy of Pastor Lindsey Williams on the Alex Jones Show. Because we are not short of resources, a point I try and make on the show quite often, but what we are in is a carefully controlled matrix, especially online. And so an article from PrisonPlanet.com, actually Business Insider, and then an update from the Wall Street Journal here. Google announces massive algorithm change, declares war on content farms, including demand media. And this is from Nicholas Carlson, Business Insider, from the 25th of February. Google just changed its search algorithm and effectively declared war on content farms like demand media. In a blog post, Google search engineers Amit Singhal and Matt Cutts write that the update, which will affect a whopping 11.8% of all search results, quote, is designed to reduce rankings for low-quality sites, sites which are low-value ad for users, copy content from other websites, or sites that are just not very useful. At the same time, it will provide better rankings for high-quality sites, sites with original content and information such as research, in-depth reports, thoughtful analysis, and so on. What does that mean? That means the Conspira content aggregators like Infowars.com and like many others out there are in fact being downgraded in terms of Google search results. If Google senses that you have a lot of content from other sites that you're using, basically to make a point about the world, where you repost rare mainstream news stories, news that is reported but not repeated, because that's more likely to be the truth and give you an alternate perspective as opposed to the media's Operation Mockingbird echo chamber, then you will be diminished in terms of your ability to reach lots and lots of people. Google search cleanup has big effects. From today's Wall Street Journal, February 28, 2011. So apparently it's already kicked in and it has already started to affect a significant amount of content out there. What does that mean? It means we got to get offline. And to help explain and add a little bit more information as to why, here's Webster Griffin Tarpley from Saturday, the 26th of February's World Crisis Radio on the situation in Libya and the threats to the nation state. Took about 10,000 years building this.
Seeing the true extent of the all-out attack, the general assault on virtually every front, unleashed by Wall Street and their CIA operatives on the modern state and on modern civilization, because I think it is no less. Back in November, December, we saw this unusual, unprecedented maneuver with Assange and WikiLeaks, obviously supported from the U.S. and British intelligence communities, releasing all of these low-level to medium-level pieces of diplomatic cables and so forth, things that were, of course, widely known, things that mainly targeted the CIA enemies list. And, of course, the targets, we've seen them, Putin, Berlusconi, Karzai, the president of Argentina, and so on down the line. This seemed to indicate, as it occurred to me at the time, that we were getting ready for a big offensive of the Anglo-American intelligence community against the rest of the world. And that is what we now have. We have a stunning, breathtaking assault on nation-state around the world and on world civilization. It is the Götterdämmerung, the twilight of the gods for the Anglo-Americans. It's the, as I said on Russia Today, it's a va-banque attack. It's shoot the works, double, triple, quadruple, or nothing. Use all your assets right now. Within the framework of the world economic depression, the breakdown crisis, disintegration crisis of the imperialist world economy, and then hoping to use this youth bulge as your shock troops and trying to organize them around the figure of Assange and these ideologies of the anonymous group, the questions of transparency, anti-hierarchy. It is, of course, the classical Oedipal rebellion, the anti-authoritarian rebellion, the revolt against civilization inspired by the crackpot ideas of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, which of course led to the Reign of Terror in the French Revolution. Rousseau, the ideologue of the guillotine, if you will, and we're seeing it happen now. With transparency, of course, another famous CIA slogan, transparency, transparency. So this attack is now unfolding, and it is essential that every nation in the world and patriotic citizens, people who care about the tremendous work of 10 to 12,000 years of developing the civilization we have, the Anglo-American imperialists, somewhat like Hitler in the bunker, are looking around and saying, well, we will drag down everything with us. Another good slogan, après nous le déluge, after us the flood, but today it's really after us, world civilization goes into the abyss. Essentially, the ideology in Washington and London is that world civilization will either be controlled by the Anglo-Americans or it will no longer exist. And I think we can see this fairly clearly now in the case of Libya. We can make a few more general comments, but now let's look at the Libyan situation specifically. In Libya, we have had now, in the past week to 10 days, two phases of a destabilization, as far as we can see from the outside. I would always say that everything coming out of Libya needs to be taken with a good dose of skepticism, because we saw the tremendous distortions, the outright lies and provocations peddled by Al Jazeera and the rest of the other world media, the Anglo-American Wurlitzer, during the Egyptian events. But now we have to look at Libya, where the ability to confirm what is being told is far less. We're not exactly sure what's happening, although I'm going to venture to give a synthesis here in just a minute. But at the beginning, it seems like the revolt was started by Anglo-American networks among the usual suspects, the ones we saw in Egypt, the golden youth, the upper middle class, the people who have computers, the people who are interested in the internet, the people who think the U.S. is cool, the people who hate hierarchy, want transparency, would like more economic globalization from which they believe they would benefit. They don't care about the workers and peasants, but they care about the privileged people of the middle and upper middle class who have privileges and want more than somebody like Gaddafi or Mubarak is able to give. So they start with the golden youth. And they start with the Islamists. They start essentially with the Muslim Brotherhood. This evening here in Europe, the TVs are saying Gaddafi is now claiming that Al-Qaeda is the leading, dominating element of the rebellion. This is an interesting propaganda problem for the Anglo-Americans, for Obama, for Panetta, for Hillary Clinton, and so forth. Are you going to oppose the secular dictator, the secular military socialist pan-Arabist Gaddafi in favor of Al-Qaeda? Now, of course, Al-Qaeda, this is a fiction, we know it, but you get the idea. For the average person, it's something real, and in a certain sense, it's plausible for the average person what Gaddafi is saying in this whole situation. So are they going to go on, and are they going to support Al-Qaeda taking over Libya? Well, in a certain way they do, because if Al-Qaeda takes over Libya, maybe Gaddafi is really playing into their hands. If Al-Qaeda is taking over Libya, then they have a perfect pretext to invade. Now, I think the first stage, Golden Youth and Islamists, now that has been overtaken in a country like Libya by this tribal question, these ethnic groups. Now, remember, you know, Rome during most of the Roman Republic and into the Roman Empire was based on tribes, and tribes that is collections of clans with various kinds of ethnic and linguistic and cultural peculiarities. These exist in places like Iraq and elsewhere. We're very lucky in the Western world not to have tribes. Tribes are not good, but they have them there in Libya. Now, the question is, Gaddafi came on the scene, of course, in the late 60s as a radical Nasserist, really, pretending to be Nasser, pretending to be an Arab socialist, pretending to be a modernizer, pretending to be an exponent of pan-Arabism. The most reliable article here I can find is Die Welt, W-E-L-T, Die Welt of Hamburg, today, the 24th of February. The title of the article is Will Libya Break Apart? Will it divide essentially into two or maybe more parts? The destruction of the nation state. We've just seen it in Sudan, and it's coming to Libya.
See, I'm influenced by the ghetto you ruined. The same dude you gave nothing. I made something doing what I do through and through. And I give you the news with a twist of just his ghetto point of view.
I'm a motherfucking spiteful, delightful, eyeful, the new Ice Cube. Mother hates to like you. What did I do?
Huh?
I'm just a kid from the gutter making his butter off these bloodsuckers. Cause I'm a motherfucking renegade. Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day. Cause I'm a renegade. Never been afraid to talk about
anything.
Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day.
Cause I'm a renegade.
Never been afraid to holler about anything.
And that's right, folks. We are not afraid to talk about anything here on CKLM's Rude Awakening here on a Monday. The number to call in is 416-595-1655 if you'd like to share your thoughts on what's going on in the world. But as you can tell, this is a giant geopolitical strategy. And I was talking to a friend of mine about the value of protest and or Facebook and the online stuff. And I got to say, in February of 2008, some colleagues of mine across Canada helped organize 16 cities to protest against the Security and Prosperity Partnership on February 16, 2008. I happened to host the one here in Toronto, outside of the Ontario Queen's Park Legislature building, our provincial legislature building. About 500 people there. You can see this in the movie The Nation's Deathbed, directed by Stephen Davies, produced by Dan Dix for Press FOR Truth. At press4truth.ca, The Nation's Deathbed. Classic film, probably the best film in Canadian history, although United We Fall came afterwards, and it's a certain contender as well. So definitely check that out. And at that time, I would have nothing to say about Facebook and social media and that sort of thing in terms of its ability to organize people. But since then, we've tended to turn into sort of cheap caricatures of ourselves with respect to how we communicate online, little broken English blurbs. And in fact, the U.S. government is even has job offers out for robots, what they call sock puppets, to help manipulate online content. Essentially, fake personas created by the government and created by automatic robot algorithms that can talk to you if all you do is speak in smiley faces and happy faces and so on. And this is an article from the Daily Coast here, the H.B. Gary email that should concern us all. And it says here, from this article by Happy Rockefeller from the 16th of February, persona management entails not just the deconfliction of persona artifacts, such as names, email addresses, landing pages, and associated content. It also requires providing the human actors technology that takes the decision process out of the loop when using a specific persona. For this purpose, we custom develop either virtual machines or thumb drives for each persona. This allowed the human actor to open a virtual machine or thumb drive with an associate persona and have all the appropriate email accounts, associations, web pages, social media accounts, etc., pre-established and configured with visual cues to remind the actor which persona he or she is using so as not to accidentally cross-contaminate personas during use. That's right, there's CENTCOM operatives, and there are job offers for this online. You can go to the fed.gov.bizops or whatever website to apply or to at least see the possibility of applying online. And so, you know, there's that aspect of it, of how our communications can be managed as they get shorter and shorter and more stunted, and how we can actually be arguing with robots in little, you know, eight-word broken English bleeps. The other factor with respect to protest is if, like in the Middle East, the leaders of the world and the leaders of our countries were to get on TV and say, oh my goodness, we have to support the rights of these people protesting and asking for better things from their government every time it happens, then I'd say great. But there's been tons of protests around here where that hasn't happened, and yet for some reason, the ones in the Middle East currently destabilizing the entire region are getting a hell of a lot of endorsement from the quote-unquote international community, really the Anglo-American establishment and their allies establishing their global governance role. But James Corbett on The Alex Jones Show can shed a bit more light on where we are and what we can do.
Crazy times to have you on. So much of what people have been talking about for 50 years with the development of the world government, mainly insiders who were in the military at high level and Congress that came out and warned people when they were briefed on this 50-year plan that we're now coming to the end of this phase and the next 50-year extermination program. Hope folks enjoy that if they don't listen. There's so much to talk about. I didn't do any pre-interview with you. It's good to have you here. What do you think is most important going on in the world right now? What's on your radar screen?
Well, it's difficult to say because, as you say, these are insanely crazy times, and there's so much going on right now. But obviously what's happening in the Middle East and everything that Lindsay Williams was just covering is absolutely vital, central to what's going on. And the ongoing economic collapse is something that I'm always concerned with. But I guess other than that, the overlay of the eugenics scientific control grid is something that I tend to concentrate on because that's really the heart of what drives the New World Order and the eugenics obsessed elite. So again, there's so much going on, but I think something that's important to stress is that you're so right that people have been warning about this for 50 years, but we in our generation are so incredibly fortunate to be living in this age where we literally have the Library of Alexandria at our fingertips with this new internet technology that has opened up this world of information and has made us probably the most energized and the most the greatest potential of any generation ever to really nail the wooden stake through the heart of this new world order. So that's what I'm attempting to do with my work, and I know you are with yours, and I'm just not taking it for granted, this incredible opportunity we have right now.
Well, James, you know the double-edged, double-meaning Chinese saying of may you live in interesting times, is the glass half empty or half full? The point is, human destiny for our entire future is now being decided. Revolutions in robotics, genetic engineering, weapon systems, transportation, information. It's kind of like starving children many times in third world countries are loving, they're thankful, they're well-behaved. But then spoiled children that have all the food they can eat in the world don't want healthy food. They want junk and become spoiled brats. So there are some people waking up and getting involved and using all this information to spread knowledge in a new renaissance, a new awakening, enlightenment. But at the same time, you've got people who are awakening and becoming better, but others falling to the brainwashing, the sodium fluoride, the TV flicker screens, the system, and the globalists are turning up their heat with their full-on assault of the environment of humanity to literally weaken us, and we have all their white papers that you've so well documented in some of your short films that really illustrate that. Let's talk about the onslaught of the globalists against the people. So, from your own research, what you think is most important on that front?
Well, unfortunately, you're right. There aren't enough people yet that are really energized and tuned into this real political reality. But there are more waking up every day, as you well know, and as I see on my work as well. I mean, I see so many more people who are now, at this point especially, as things increase and as the temperature rises, people are more and more interested in getting into this information. So that's why it's important that we're out there spreading this information right now. But I think, unfortunately, the vast majority of the public has been intellectually crippled by the fact that the media has been completely and utterly controlled for decades now, at least, by the big foundations, for example. I mean, you have a report up on InfoWars today about the Gates Foundation and how they've been influencing media coverage of the Gates Foundation. Surprise, surprise. And of course, we saw that going back with the Rockefellers and all of that before that. And then the education system itself, as many of your guests have talked about before, obviously has been used to dumb people down. So, I mean, in a sense, the public has been intellectually crippled by their lack of information about what the real political paradigm is and who the real political players are. And sometimes, I mean, the tendency is for some people to blame the public for being intellectually crippled, but I don't think that's particularly helpful. I mean, we just have to do our best to try to overcome that. And now that we have this internet technology, we really do have the chance at waking more people up to this. So it's kind of a race, I think. And
yes.
It's just a question of whether we're running fast enough.
There is regularly between 15 and 20% of people who write indignantly saying the records don't work at all, and he sends the money back at once. There are, on the other hand, over 20% who write enthusiastically, saying they're now much richer, their sexual life is much better, etc., etc. And these, of course, are the dream clients, and they buy more of these records. And then in between are those who complain they're not getting much results, and they have to have letters written to them saying, well, go persist, my dear, go on, and you will get there, and they generally...
This often misinterpreted concept, so readily dismissed by the Nietzsches of the world as a weak and cowardly force, has now become an absolute necessity for the survival of man. When I speak of love, I'm not speaking of some sentimental and weak response. I'm not speaking of that force which is just emotional bosh. I'm speaking of that force which all of the great religions have seen as the supreme unifying principle of life. Love is somehow the key that unlocks the door which leads to ultimate reality.
And that's right, folks, we are back. Love is the key that unlocks the door to ultimate reality. And so we got to spread a little bit of love out there. What does that love mean? That love means we love where we live. We love our family, we love our friends, and we love the fact that we have an opportunity to be in a tolerant and civilized country and live on a tolerant and civilized planet. And that means that we can get some info out there in the information war, because things are being revealed at a ridiculous pace, and as James Corbett on the Alex Jones Show from the 23rd of February suggested, we are in a race against time. People have been revealing this information for 50 years now, and for that entire 50 years of revelations from Myron Fagan and Cleon Skousen up to G. Edward Griffin and Fritz Springmeier up to Anthony Sutton, and through the 80s and 90s and into the aughts, we've had tons and tons of people who have just said, look, I did all this research, I found original documentation, I went to the archives, I've done all the homework, I put it in a book, I made a DVD, all I want you to do is pass it on, is share it with other people so that we have a chance to resist these scams. People don't understand. This is all based on scams and all based on fraud. There's no way we would agree to all this if it wasn't based on that. And what's the only way to beat a scam? It's to expose that scam. You got to expose the scam to beat the scam. And ultimately, that's what the information war is. And so, you know, as you look here, there's an article from HenryMakow.com which says, Why the Illuminati Tolerate Truthers, by Wasu Blue. Says, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Christ from Matthew 7:7 in the Bible. As a quote here, it says here, and this is a theory, but it's certainly a theory that's reasonable based on the amount of information that's out there, and yet based on the lack of sort of activity in the information war relative to what we know, what's been proven to work, and what's put us in a position to beat these guys. And as James Corbett said, drive a stake into the heart of the New World Order once and for all, because knowledge is power, and we have and can acquire a lot of it. Wasu Blow from HenryMacko.com writes, the Illuminati are using the truth movement to achieve their one world government. Their goal is to show the world that all governments are thoroughly corrupt. When the time is correct, they will offer their, quote, solution to replace all of the evil governments. Quote, we've been leading the peoples from one governmental disenchantment to another, so that in the end they should turn also from us, our governments, in favor of that king despot of the blood of Zion, whom we are preparing for the world. The strategy of fomenting disillusionment with democracy was also outlined by the Club of Rome. Quote, democracy will be made to seem responsible for the lagging economy, the scarcity, and the uncertainties. This will bring the very concept of democracy into question. The truth movement also creates widespread despair and a sense of hopelessness. We tend to magnify their power and underestimate our own. The truth movement must always be wary and ask the two fundamental questions. One, where do they want to lead us on any given front? Two, how are they cleverly accomplishing this? Or closer to home, how are they using you to accomplish this? And that includes even me here on the radio. That includes everybody who's suffering from infomania. As it says here, where they say, the infomania that people have developed keeps them seeking a never-ending supply of information, which effectively distracts them from finding real solutions to the problems. Those little Twitter updates on your iPhone, those little updates on Facebook, and so on and so forth. I mean, all of those things are part of a program that was put out for us to use. You saw the Facebook last night at the Oscars. I watched about an hour of it. God, that stuff is boring. Just unbelievable. You know, I saw Christian Bale win his Best Supporting Actor Oscar, and then I cut out. But the point is that you see how things are promoted, including the Facebook movie being promoted and being a whitewash relative to the intelligence agency manipulation of Facebook and other mediums out there that are essentially meant to train us to think in new ways, or to not think in new ways more specifically. So we've got to get a bit more creative when it comes to this. And there's tons of people out there who are doing a phenomenal job of informing the informed. And I am one of the people who benefits from their work. And you are one of the people out there in CKLN Radio Listener Land who benefits from this as well, both from the stuff I share and from what they're doing. But at the same time, there's tons and tons of things going on, like the price of food is at the heart of this wave of revolutions, from the London Independent, courtesy of Infowars.com here. Revolution's breaking out all over as Gaddafi marshals his thugs and mercenaries for a last-ditch fight in Tripoli. Several died as protesters grew more serious in Iraq. Saudi Arabia's King Abdullah is bribing his people. Bahrain's releasing political prisoners. And so all these Middle Eastern dictatorships are struggling to hold on. But people there aren't necessarily fighting for democracy. That's a psyop by our media to make us think that our system is so special we shouldn't criticize or question it when there are people over there struggling, fighting, protesting, and dying for it. No, they're doing it for food, folks. Because as it says further on in this article, the serious food price increases are affecting them. It says here, the first warnings of what to come appeared in the form of a briefing paper on the website of the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization in December. Quote, recent bouts of extreme price volatility in global agricultural markets, it said, portend rising and more frequent threats to world food security. There is emerging consensus that the global food system is becoming more vulnerable and susceptible to episodes of extreme price volatility. As markets are increasingly integrated in the world economy, shocks in the international arena can now transpire and propagate to domestic markets much quicker than before. Notice they said price volatility. This isn't about supply. As Pastor Lindsay Williams has said before on the Alex Jones Show, there'll be plenty of food on the shelves. We just won't be able to afford it because the value of our dollars is being destroyed. And yet, what can people do against all this? What can people do against a report slamming the shocking abuses of the G20 summit. From Colin Pergel on Sunday's Yesterday's Toronto Star, a full-scale public inquiry is needed in light of the widespread and violent trampling of civil rights by police at last summer's billion-dollar G20 summit in Toronto, a new report concludes. The call for an inquiry is among recommendations of the report by Canadian Civil Liberties Association and National Union of Public and General Employees, which is aimed at holding governments accountable and avoiding a recurrence. The many violations of civil liberties that occurred during the summit, such as illegal detentions and searches and excessive use of force, cannot simply have been the actions of a few bad apples, the report states. Rather, given the scope and severity of the violations of rights that occurred during the G20, it is difficult to view the situation as anything other than a failure of policy and training. And Carol Gore from the Toronto Star had a great article the other day where she laid a lot of this stuff out and basically said, yeah, who was really in charge of the G20? That's something we have to find out, because security preparations were made at the federal level for this world government summit months in advance. But what do we do about this? Okay, it was in the media. This is a Toronto Star article which says, that an independent inquiry is needed. And so we have that. What's the next stage in this? The next stage is making sure that people who have politicians responsible for acting on information like this get active in their local communities, in their ridings, to galvanize people around them in supporting efforts to petition those politicians, to pressure them if they're unsupportive, and to support them if they're trapped inside a system that doesn't like a lot of disruptions, to get the word out there. And it says here, in an article called PSYOPs Team Accused of Targeting U.S. Senators from the London Independent, that the United States, and basically the PSYOPs groups in Iraq, are accused of targeting senators to try and get them to give the U.S. Army more money and more troops. But it says right here from London Independent what psychological warfare techniques are, and they include, during the Korean War, leaflets calling on enemy troops to surrender were said to have influenced up to a third of the soldiers who were taken prisoner by the United Nations forces. Another technique adopted in the First Gulf War was to drop leaflets warning of an impending bombing raid, carry out the attack, then drop more leaflets telling Iraqi troops they should surrender. The tactic was to make them trust the word of the Allies. That's right. Writing something down on a piece of paper and passing it on has been done for hundreds, if not thousands of years, to help people foment revolutions. It's personal, it's you talking to your neighbors, and it's the best thing that you can possibly do to get them to relate to you and what you're trying to tell them for their benefit and for the benefit of the culture you live in. So, in a nutshell, gotta get out there, gotta get more active in the information war. There is no doubt about that, because tons and tons of things are going on, and they're telling us, and we can make the connections. It says here, Ontario Hydro sprayed Agent Orange to clear corridors, from Diana Zielmislik from the Toronto Star from the 26th of February on Saturday. So the Star is doing great work. There's a bunch of great individual reporters there, and this city is hella conspiracy. There's no doubt about that, with a conspiracy culture book and DVD store, all the information out there, Victor Fletcher's Toronto Street newspaper being around for a dozen years, and people being active on the streets, like Toronto 9/11 Truth, and then after that, Toronto Truth Seekers out there at TorontoTruthSeekers.com every Saturday since the summer of 2009. People have been getting crazy active to get the word out there, so we have to support people in these efforts. But basically, what can you do? You can make the connections between the chemtrail spraying that we're seeing now, and between this article here by Diana Zielmislik. Ontario Hydro used Agent Orange to clear power line corridors across the province through city backyards and thick rural brush. Hydro's own records boast that in one 12-year period, the power company dropped enough chemicals in Ontario to cover a 30-meter-wide swath, traveling four-fifths the distance around the world. The Ontario Hydro revelation moves health concerns over the toxin closer to highly populated areas of the province, with spraying on hundreds of thousands of kilometers of hydro corridors looping through parks and farmers' fields. For months at a time, summer students and salaried hydro laborers would fan out across Ontario with metal knapsacks filled with poisonous chemicals strapped to their backs. The company also loaded gallons of herbicides onto all-terrain vehicles, helicopters, army trucks, swamp tractors, and even horses to help workers access every nook and cranny. Every power line in Ontario was sprayed, said Sidney Roger, a former hydro supervisor who worked in Eastern Ontario from 1958 to 1968. All the spraying was done in urban and rural areas with no regard for creeks and streams or residents and wildlife. So, instead of just absorbing all this information like we often tend to, and like it's not necessarily a bad thing, you know, in and of itself on the whole, let's start making the connection. Let's start using some of the mainstream media admissions to get more active in the information war. Because if we don't, as Webster Tarpley said, perhaps a bit callously to some people out there who are fans of them, if we don't get active, if adults who understand or who can understand what's going on and who can find the will to take action in the info war, if they don't get active, then we will be sent into the streets to protest without talking to each other first, without figuring out what's going on, and without trying to get what we want. And that is a massive mistake. So instead of going for the protest model, which only empowers governments, as most people side with governments against the protesters, thanks to the usual influence of the mass media, let's try and get out there and inform our neighbors in creative ways. Share a DVD, share a flyer, and start making the connections. I know there's 5 bodies responsible for putting the fluoride into Toronto's water. I've done some research on that, so I know we have to petition to take them out. But ultimately, without the public will, nothing can be accomplished. Who are we at this time in history? It is almost March. It is going to be March tomorrow. And tomorrow I start to march. I'm going to start hitting the streets with some flyers, putting out some ideas out there, trying to get at least 1% of people in this city, 55,000 out of 5.5 million, active on these issues, among other ideas, and trying to improve our health, wealth, and relationships. When the ship starts to sink out there, women, children, and the elderly are usually looking for an arm to grab on, and that's usually a big, strong guy's arm. So it's the same situation here with the global economic recession and the fallout. So I definitely recommend men up there, man up, get some respect back that's been destroyed by years of stupid sitcom fathers getting picked on by their wives and their children, by taking some action, by getting more informed, by speaking more authoritatively about important issues. We're trained to make something out of nothing, like trivia, and nothing out of something, like politics. Let's try and flip it up. And let's try and get out there with a little bit of love. Let's try and say, look, not trying to mess up anybody's day. We're just trying to share some information that we think can be of some help. And so before the People's DJ, Mr. David James takes you on a 4-hour jazz experience you will not forget, because he is a jazz genius. Do stick around for that. Let me share out a couple of websites that I recommend you check to follow up on this information, to distill it, and to figure out how to pass it on in creative ways that reflect your feelings about about our loss of freedoms, and about how you want to encourage us to fight for them and fight for our liberties and fight for our future. Infowars.com, great place. The V for Victory campaign, postering campaign, is taking in final contest entries, so get your entries in and start putting up those V posters or other posters and handing out flyers, as Infowars.com recommends. Naturalnews.com, amazing, amazing health news. About 50% of us are supposed to get cancer. Let's try and cut that number down significantly. Alan Watts, cuttingthroughthematrix.com. There is an amazing article there about the wireless radiation and wireless and Wi-Fi radiation and how it affects us in combination with everything else. We got to take some firm stands on some of these things. Otherwise, it'll all catch up to us a lot quicker than we think. Go to naturalnews.com for a bit more on natural news, and cuttingthroughthematrix.com for a bit more on the story on wireless and a philosophical overview of how we got here, where we're going, and how we can stop some of the big plans in the future, which we pretty much know right now. We're just in the need, in the immediate urgent need to inform others so we can all take steps to resist them. Also, henrymakow.com, excellent articles on our culture and especially gender relations there. So you can definitely check out his thoughts on that, just for the other perspective based on what's heavily promoted today. BRAN.org for legal vaccine exemption forums. Definitely check them out and check out the risks of vaccines. FluorideAlert.org for the risks of fluoride. You can get filters, and we can get enough information out there to petition our politicians to stop adding it to our water supply at great cost to our wealth and our health. locally, TorontoTruthSeekers.com. Great place to network on these issues with about 500 other truth seekers. Press FORTruth.ca, PressForTruth.ca. Excellent independent journalism company. Conspiracy Culture, book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles. Definitely got to check them out. ConspiracyCulture.com. And you got to find out more about these about this information there, and share it. You're allowed to burn copies of a lot of the DVDs that made people who produce work in this genre produce, because they understand how important it is to share the information. So they actually take a loss on this just so that our culture and our society and the world can get a win. And Victor Fletcher's Toronto Street News out there, a venerable publication on the streets of Toronto, and doing a great job that we can help supplement with our own efforts. Ladies and gentlemen out there, it is the end of February. We are heading towards March. The weather is getting warm, and people are definitely curious. We can all see gas prices spike. Our mass media is selling us an age of crisis, and yet, on the flip side of that, they're selling us a lot of fun trivia. Let's figure out how we can fit somewhere in the middle of this mess. Let's figure out how we can say, look, there is just information out there, and there are steps that we can take to protect our nation state, which is currently under attack by international institutions, international banksters, and international multinational corporations who are trying to rob the entire world and control it. So thanks to all the contributors today for shedding some light on that. I'm out of here, folks. It's been a fantastic Monday. Hopefully you enjoy yourselves out there. It is a cold and rainy, drizzly day in Toronto, so do pack an umbrella and something warm to wear, because the climate changes all the time here, and it's natural, but the recession's not. So let's get a bit more informed on that. And take care of yourselves and each other. Peace out.
Fools need proof, so I slide to the side and I act uncouth. But it's just an act, cause I might react to those who never held a mic that fed back. Listen, it's just a day in the life of a man living in the dark, one headlight. Big up to Dylan, the village mate, the villain. I write raps while I watch myself on the ceiling. 4, 3, 2, 1, it's the countdown. I roll like a laser beam through the downtown. Just mind over matter, maintain the glow. Peace.